Okay, today's daf is Peah Daf Ayin. Peah Daf Ayin. We get into the 70th daf here in Maseches Peah, and we are on Samach Tes Mabez, after the Mishnah that we discussed yesterday. And again, today's shiur is sponsored anonymously in honor of their parents and with immense gratitude to the OU for their work in all aspects of Jewish life. So we started the last section here of the Masechta, where the Mishnah said yesterday, how much does one have to give to the Ani, Matnis Aniyim? Is there a minimum? So the Mishnah said, in a word, enough for two meals a day, two daily meals. That was all the different ways that the Mishnah said that, in terms of wheat, in terms of barley, in terms of spelt, and all the types of materials. But at root, it was all about the ability to have two meals for the day. Good. So now the Gemara says, it was based on the pasuk v'achlu v'sharecha v'saveyu, tein lo k'dei savo, give him enough to satiate himself for the day. And then Chizkiyahu asked his father, where do you get the shiurim from? And he put a stone next to the tree, and we had a different deos about whether that was an answer or not. Okay, Rabbi Chananya, three lines from the bottom. Rabbi Chananya, Avi Yosef, Kumei, Rabbi Eloi. Rabbi Chananya was sitting in front of Rabbi Eloi, Vahu Omer, Tamin, Vahu Sasar. And he kept giving an explanation, an answer to the question, and he kept arguing, Vahu Sasar, and he was arguing, Omer, Tamin, Vahu Sasar. He kept giving an explanation, what's the reason? And he kept contradicting. So he kept arguing. So Omer Lei, Lo Balan Mistar El Mivni. Right, so what does that mean? So 2 days is in the Mara Fulda. One day is that, what do you keep arguing with me? Right, we're supposed to be building the understandings of the Torah, and it seems like you're just arguing for argument's sake. Right, lo balan mistar elamivne. We're supposed to be not destroying, but building. Or the other day is that it's specifically the balan. A balan is like a bathhouse caretaker. Right, the bathhouse caretakers, they help out. They don't just break. They don't just destroy. So either it's a mushal or it's just a literally, right, what are you doing? Right, because the message in Torah and in questions in Torah is ultimately to get to an answer, not just to be argumentative. And maybe that's what he's saying here. Don't just argue for no reason. Remember the thought of Rav Kook on the Gemara in the Bavli in Brachas and Afchav Zayin, right? A lead-in, if you remember the Gemara, about Tfilas Arvus Roshus, Tfilas Arvus Chova, which ultimately led to the story about Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah becoming the Nasi at 18 years old. But at the beginning of that Gemara, it was led into by Tfilas Arvus Roshus or Chova, right? That was the Machlokes. And they were having a discussion, what exactly is the Halacha? So they said, well, wait till everybody for the Beis Medrash comes in and then we'll have a vote. And the language of the Gemara there, Chav Zayin Mabez in the Bavli and Brachos, was, well, let's wait for the Bali Treisen to come in, the arm bearers, right? Because the people who fight in the Machat Shel Torah are called the arm bearers. But the word used is Treisen. Treisen are shields, right? Not swords, not spears. So Rav Kook notes, why is that the word used? That the shield bearers, right? When you fight a war, is that the most important weapon? Right, that's not an attacking weapon. That's just a defensive weapon, a shield. It's not a sword. So Rav Kook says, yeah, that's the point. Because in Torah, you're not just out there to attack the other person. Not just knocking his sheet. He's trying to get to the emes. So I mean, first and foremost means maybe defending what you're trying to believe. And if it comes that you're not telling the truth, okay. So it'll fall away. But it's not just about attacking the other. That's why Bali Treisen is used. Says Rav Kook, Yesh Melchemes Magen u'Melchemes Tigra. There's a milchama of what's called an offense or defense. Offensive war or defensive war. Milchama is tigra, mechavenes lahapila oyev labdo. The milchama of offense, tigra, the object is to destroy the enemy. Umilchama is magain lahachzik mamanatzmo. Milchama is magain is to defend his own shita. Kena deos haros. Kishen alchamim aleim srichem latesma milchama is tigra. Laabdan. Ara yisod. Labal yar ilu ba'arsan. So if you're fighting against a poisonous hashkafa or opinion, which are none in the Shas. But if you're fighting against that, some heretical view, then you have to go out and destroy it. Aval divrei Torah, shegam ha'ostrim kahamatirim, hey divrei Elokim chayim. But in Torah, where whatever the shita is, oser or matir, it's all divrei Elokim chayim, elu ve'elu, rak shekolachen mechuyiv lahachzik b'daito, shehi lefi deya, mechuvenes la'amita shel halacha, lasos maisa kamosa, everybody has their own opinion, alkein eno ki imel chemes magen. Right, all Torah arguments and fights in Torah are Mechemes Magi, not Mechemes Tigra, as he calls it. Limso Mamad Lamaisa Pidaito, Ava Bishagam Dazulaso Idea Shlema, Umi Makar Kadoshi Novas. Even though the other opinion is also coming from a holy source. Al Kain Nikru Tamini Chachabim Saskim Beilu Avikuchim Bali Tresim, Tovsi Magi. It's called that they're holding shields. Right? And that's what maybe this Rav is saying. What do you keep arguing with me? It sounds like, maybe he's, to use Rav Cook's words, it sounds like you're fighting a Melchemes Tigra, not a Melchemes Magen, right? So why do you keep just arguing with me for no reason? Right? The ultimate reason, there's a question, is to come up with answers, come up to understand the Shita better. It reminds me also of that Gemara in Bat Metzia, on Daf Pei Daled, in Hasokhar Zapolim in the Bavli in the seventh parak, where, remember the story, the tragic story, the beginning of the story is the, where Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish got sick and Rabbi Yochanan was davening for him, and ultimately Reish Lakish dies. And Rabbi Yochanan is very upset that he's going around and the Rabbanim are trying to help him out, to get him out of his depression. So they send him, the smartest person they knew in order to learn Torah with him. And, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas. So they, every time Rabbi Yochanan says something, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas brings a raya, and says, oh, I have a raya that you're right, I have a raya that you're right. So Rabbi Yochanan says, you think I need you as a raya to show you me as a raya? Atu kabar lakisha, are you like Reish Lakish? And Rabbi Yochanan says, bar lakisha ki avamina milsa, whenever I said something, havimakshi li esrin v'arba kushyosa. He used to ask me 24 questions. Umafrigna le esrin v'arba pruket, I gave him 24 answers. And through that discussion, we understood the sugya. And you tell me, v'atam r'tanya v'se'elacha, ato lo yadana d'shaper kamina. What, you don't think I think I'm right? And you tell me, oh, I'm right. Okay, great, I don't need you. I said it, I think I'm right. So you're not like bar lakisha. But those kashas of Reish Lakish weren't stomped to ask questions. They were about to understand. To understand better, and that's Rabbi Yochanan appreciated. But again, those are two sources relating to the idea of Torah being questions in order to get to the answers, not time to ask questions. And therefore, it's all about Mivne, not Mistar, and that's what maybe this Rav was upset about. Okay, on my Rabbi Mana, last line, Tanya, Arba Litrin. So Rabbi Mana says, unlike the Mishnah said, the Brisa said 1 litra of vegetables, 4 litra of vegetables. That's his opinion about what the appropriate amount is. Amar Rabbi Lazar, the Chen LeEruv, also for an Eruv Tchum. We know there are Shiurim, not just for here, what we're talking about Manas Aniyim, but for Eruv Tchumin, right? In order to extend my Tchum in various directions, the Mishnayos and the Eruvin discuss, I could put food outside 2,000 amos, and then that could be my center of shvisa on Shabbos. So the same shiurim have to be put out here, besides the context of Meiser Ani, also for Erev Tchumen. For Erev Chatzeros, it's only bread, but for Erev Tchumen, it is can be used any of these foods. Amar Rav Chinina, Hadad Tamar B'Yayin. What we're talking about here, says Reb Chinina, is wine. That's the shiurim that's used. Aval b'shemen, when it's oil, marvin bo mazon shesudis, you could use even less than what's written in the Mishnah. Why? Reb Chaim Kanievsky explains, because oil you don't drink straight, right? Oil is for dipping. So how much oil do you need to dip the rest of your food that you can have for 2 meals? So therefore, you need even less, right? Says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, b'shemen lo boy be'eriv revius. Elasagi b'shir shem k'dei l'tabel bo mazon shtei sudos. The kosher derech l'tabel bo ain't sarach elo k'dei l'tabel bo. L'inyan ma'aser ani shiura revius k'dei shaluchal bo mazon be'sudos. At least regarding the eruv. At least regarding the eruv, Rav Chaim Kanievsky explains to the Gemara, all you need is enough to dip 2 meals. Ma'aser ani, you would need more. That's Rav Chinina's chilek, right? We don't drink direct shemen, right? The Gemara in the beginning of the sixth parak of Brachas, in the Bavli, I don't think we had this in the Yerushalmi, talks about what bracha do you make on oil. We're probably going to make an oil bar praise. When are you ever going to make a bracha bar praise on oil? You're never going to drink straight oil. If you drink straight oil, the Gemara says it's mazik. So the Gemara ends up saying, it must be a mixture of oil and other ingredients, which is edible, and oil is the main ingredient. So and that's the situation that one would make a bore pre hoetz. Good. Tani, ma'arvin b'chometz, mazon shtei sudos. One could use vinegar for mazon shtei sudos. And the next line is taken out. Tani ma'arvin b'shem b'mazon shtei sudos. We just had that. Rabbi Yirmiyah b'shem Rabbi Shmuel. Barav Yitzchak, k'dei litbo b'yerek haneg at shtei sudos. Enough to dip vegetables that you have bound up. That's how vegetables usually come. They're bound up and enough for 2 meals. That's how much chometz. Again, you don't usually drink vinegar straight. Rabbi Yitzchak Atushya, Omar Kumi Reb Zeira B'Shem D'Bei Reb Yanai, Afunin Chayin, raw peas, Ma'arve behen mazon shei sudos. Also, you could use them for enough for two meals. Laman nitzracha, this chiddush of raw peas, who is this according to? Right? Why would I have thought otherwise? L'Rebbe Meir, it's following, it's telling you the chiddush according to Rebbe Meir. The Marafolda explains, Rebbe Meir holds that anything that you could eat raw, you could be ma'arev. If you need to eat it with bread, you don't eat it raw, so then you're not ma'arev. According to the Rabbanan, you're ma'arev with anything, right? The issue is onions. That's what the Marafolda says. The issue is onions. According to the Rabbanan, you could use onions, which are eaten raw, right? Afilu chaya ne'achal ma'pas. But Rabbi Meir says, no, you can't use onions. But he says you can use peas. Right? What's the difference? Rabbi Meir, Zerlo tomar, you shouldn't say, hov, hey, masrichet esapei ma'arvim bahem. They make your breath smell really badly. So you might have thought that it's not a normal type of food that people would eat, kamash malan, it would be okay. It would be okay to use according to your Bimeir. Okay, that's the chiddush. Dag maliach ma'arvin bo, salted fish you could use. Now we're switched to eruv, right? What you could use for eruv tchumen, you could use salted fish, basar maliach ma'arvin bo, or salted meat, basar chay, or even raw meat. Raw meat. Why raw meat? What's the chiddush of raw meat? People eat raw meat. Ditaninan. Because we learned in the Mishnah in Meseches Menachos. The Mishnah Menachos tells us, the first half of that Mishnah talks about the karban of Yom Kippur, right? The seer of Yom Kippur, usually, if it's brought on Yom Kippur, then I can't cook it that, you can't cook on Yom Kippur, but that night, I could cook and eat it, right? Up until if it's a chatas, it can be eaten until that night. Problem is, what if Yom Kippur's on a Friday? Yom Kippur, according to our calendar, can't fall out on a Friday. But in the days of old, when there was Kiddush HaChodesh, Yom Kippur could fall out on a Friday. So if Yom Kippur's on a Friday, and you can't cook the meat, the seer on a Friday, the chatas, and then on Shabbos, you can't cook it either. So, and if you wait till after Shabbos, then it's just going to become nosar. So you might say, okay, what can you do? You don't have a choice. But the Mishnah there says that there was some that used to eat it raw. There's some that used to eat the seer of Yom Kippur. The Mishnah says there, Menachas Sadi Tesma Beis, Seir shall Yom Kippurim ne'echal chal Yom Kippurim lios b'Shabbos hachalz b'chalkos la'erev chal lios b'erev Shabbos Seir shall Yom Kippurim ne'echal la'erev. Right, Yom Kippur falls out on Friday, the seer can be eaten that night. The problem is it's Shabbos, so you can't cook it. Va'bavliim ochlim osok shudchai b'bnei daitan yafe. The Babylonians used to eat it raw because daitan yafe. What is daitan yafe? Right? They're able to eat raw meat. Our girsa is different. Our girsa, we quote that last line. Ditanina now in our Gemara. Habavli mochel osok shu chai v'reisha daitan mikokeles. They have a weird type of eating habits that they could eat a raw piece of steak, and therefore they didn't have to cook it, so they were able to eat it. So is that a good thing? Is that not a good thing? You get the impression that it's like some type of negative here. Daitan mikokeles. If you look at Tosfos there, Tosfos and Menachos on Daf Kuf. Well, first the Gemara. The Gemara there on Daf Kuf says, "Amar Rabbi Rachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Bavliim Haim Ela Alexandriim Haim." They were really from Alexandria. They weren't Babylonians. Why does the Mishnah call them Babylonians? The rabbis didn't like the Babylonians, so that's why they called them the Babylonians. Used to do this. Umibnei Sonin as a Bavliim. Since they hated the Bavliim, Korinos Olshe Bavliim. They called them Bavliims. Which Babylonians did they not like? Says Tosfos Menachos. Daf Kuf, who are we talking about? We're talking about the Jews that didn't come up to Eretz Yisrael during Bayisheni. Those are the Babylonians, right? Those are the Anshei Bavel. So that's why the Rabbanim were upset at them for not coming back to Eretz Yisrael, right? And therefore, they called them the Babylonians. L'fisha lo alu b'yimei Ezra. U'mashe maskirin osan l'ginai. Right? So why does it, you get a negative impression? They were eating a karban. Why the negative impression? Al sha'ochlin asas se'irim chayim, because they ate the goats raw. Avagav de mitzvah ka'avdi, even though they were doing a mitzvah, shalol yavoli de nosar. They were doing a mitzvah, so the seer didn't come to be leftover karban nosar. Lefisha her gilu atzmam, kemochein lochlim chayim, because this accustomed them in order to eat meat raw. Af bekoashanim, demechzi karav tanusa. It's not derech eretz. It's like you're eating before it's ready. It's like you're starving, and it's not derech eretz to eat meat raw. So even though here you might have eaten raw, but it accustomed them, and they weren't doing it maybe fully l'shem shamayim. It seems Tosfos says, even though mitzvah ka'avdi shelo yavo l'dei nosar, still it seemed to be negative. You could read the Tosfos 100 times and not get the diuk. The Rishash on this Tosfos has an unbelievable diuk. The Rishash says, It must be that they weren't doing a mitzvah of achilas kachim when they were eating it raw. What do you mean? The Tosfos said they were doing a mitzvah. No, what does Tosfos say? They were doing a mitzvah so it doesn't come to nosar. Why does Tosfos say that? Why does it say they were doing a mitzvah because they were eating karbanos? It's a mitzvah to eat karbanos. Tosfos says they were doing a mitzvah preventing it from becoming nosar. That's all eating karbanos is about? From preventing it from becoming nosar, right? It must be the Rishash is medayik there in Menachas on Daf Kuf. Right? The Rishash is always inspiring. Right? He was a banker in Vilna. And he has comments on every daf and shas. So here says the Rishash, "Midelo kamar de bekaimi mitzvah say deva achlu osam mashma de beemes lo makaimi baachila kazu dehi shelo kederach achilasan viavagav de etzlani derech achila lo mahani." Even though for them it might have been normal eating, but it doesn't count. Look at the Mishnah Malach and Yisodei Torah. That's what the Mishnah Malach discusses. Kidi biyotzei a mitzvah eating something shelo kederach. But that's the diuk of the Rishash on that Tosfos, which relates to the larger issue, which has come up every once in a while, and that is the mitzvah of achilas kachim. Is the mitzvah a maisa mitzvah to eat? Is it a mitzvah sheyehei ne'echal? That's how the Beis Halevi and the Chassam Sofer discuss it. The mitzvah of karbanos is to make sure it is eaten, not dafka that I eat it. Right? And that's why as long as I take care of, I could share it, maybe even with ketanim, And I make sure that it's doesn't become nosar. Not everybody has to have a kezias, right? As long as it's eaten, so then the mitzvah is fulfilled by all of the kohanim, with the exception of Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach is a mitzvah sagavra to eat it, but all the other karbanos, the mitzvah is just for it to be eaten. And there are many rayas to this that are brought by the Achron and the Beis Halevi discusses this in the third volume of his Truvis. He writes the mitzvah achilas kachim. This is Nun Aleph Dalad. Gimel Nun Aleph Dalad in the Beis Halevi. Lefi Mashak Asavra, the mitzvah of Achilas Kachim Ein Sorak Yizayis. Kivan Shah Mitzvah Eino Chov Al Gufa Adam Rak Ha Mitzvah Al HaKarbon She Yehei Ne'echal V'yesh Lomar Demishim Hachi Even Shalok Kederach Achila. Right, so that could be against the Rishash. The Rishash is like Shalok Kederach Achila, and therefore it's not the mitzvah. The Beis Halevi was saying, well, if the mitzvah is to just make sure that it is eaten, not a mitzvah Achila, to eat it for the gavra, then maybe even shaloka derech achila, that would be good enough. But again, that's the Rosh Hashanah Menachas Daf Kuf. This Beis Halevi, that would he be medayik with the lashon and tosas? Maybe you wouldn't make such a diak in terms of that it's a mitzvah that to save it from nosar. Okay, but either way, that's fascinating here. But this is why you can have it raw as part of the Erev, because there are some people that eat it raw. At least it's good enough for that halacha. Reb Yudin Boy, Hadi Kalkira. Kalkira, question exactly what Kalkira is. According to another Gersa, it's Salikira. Right? The Mara Fulda says it's a type of food that's eaten only when cooked. It can't be eaten raw. Kalkira, Hadi Kalkira, Hoel ve'ilen kutoy achlin minechaya, since the kutam eat it raw, ma'arvin ba, so you'd be able to use it for Erev. It has the status of food as is. We'll get back to that. Let's just first finish. Shmuel bar Shilas b'shem Rav papuin v'gudganios v'chalugulgos. Sorry, Masechah Shabbos. These types of foods, ma'arvin bahen, these types of foods one could use for Erev. Bon kumi haydin inin. What are these foods? Papuin, gut gedanios, and chalugulugos, amalun, kekule, hindakuke, uparpachine. Okay, different types of herbs that are edible, and those are able to be used for Erev. All different ideas. If you look in find one line, if I could, the Gemara says, in, I think it's Chaluglugos. Let me just find the Talmudian. If I can't find it right now, then I'll do it later. Right, in the Gemara about, okay, we'll leave it for now. Gemara about Shabbos and the different questions that he was asked. I think he spoke about Chaluglugos there. Okay, we'll do it after. Let's continue. The Gemara says, relating to just one Gemara that's related to our Gemara, it says, since the Kutim eat it raw, so that's why one could have Erev with it. There is another halacha that whether something is eaten raw or not has halachic ramifications, and of course that is bishlakum. Bishlakum, we know, has the three conditions to make something usur, mishum bishlakum, and one needs all three to be usur, right? If you're missing any one of them, then it's not going to be usur within the world of Issa Durabban and the bishlakum, right? You have to, has to be, not be able to be eaten raw, right? If it can be eaten raw, then there's no bishlakum, and it has to be a chashu food, right? Ne'achal al shulchan malachim, and it has to be the process totally done by the non-Jew. If a Jew took part in the process at all, so then it is not going to be an issue. So again, sometimes things change over time in terms of what's eaten raw, what's not eaten raw, but it's not that the halacha changes. Again, the ramifications and the applications of halacha changes. Like here, the Gemara says, there are some people that eat these things raw, so you'd be able to use it for Erev, right? So too with the bishul akum halachas, right? They say sushi and fish. Right? People used to not eat so much raw fish, and now people do eat the raw fish, so maybe that could make it less of a problem for bishul akum, and that's the lot of discussion there. Okay, says the Mishnah next halacha. Mida zu amura b'kohanim ubilevim ubiyisrael. These measurements are for kohanim, levim, and Yisrael. Which measurements? For who? So most Mepharshim say this is referring to whichever ani comes, these are the measurements that you give. These are the amounts of manas ani that you give. What's the chiddush? Even though some of these, let's say the aniim are kohanim or levim, and they're getting truma, and they're also getting maaser rishon, it doesn't matter. The maaser ani, doesn't matter who you're giving. The Rambam here, in the second day of the Mara Folda, says maybe it's referring to the nosnim, the bale bias. Doesn't matter who the nosnim are, these are the measurements. These are the measurements given. So this mida applies to all. I didn't remember until looking back. There is a Tosas Rid that we've quoted numerous times, and the Tosas Rid quotes this Mishnah at the end of Peah. What Tosas Rid? There's a Tosas Rid in Kiddushin Dapnan Ches. I think we've quoted this at least once in this Masechta. This is the, if you remember, the Nodeb Yehuda says, I'm going to tell you something, a Chiddush that's never been said before in the history of the world. And always very dangerous to say that, even if you're the Nodeb Yehuda, because the Tosas Rid said it. He didn't have a Tosas Rid, but we have a Tosas Rid. Tosas Rid said it before the Nodeb Yehuda by a couple hundred years. But what's the Chiddush? The Gemara says that for Truma, Chita Achas, Poteres Esakri. How much Truma has to be given? Midaraisa, any tiny little amount. Meiser has to be 10%. That's the word Eser. But Truma, any tiny amount. Chita Achas, Poteres Esakri. That's the Lashon of the Gemara. But both the Tosas Rid, amongst the Rishonim, and the Nodeb Yehuda, amongst the Achronim, say, be medayik in the language. It doesn't say you fulfill the mitzvah of Nesinas Truma with a tiny amount. It says, poteres esakri, right? You've fixed your kriya, now it's no longer tevel. There's a difference between tikkun hakri and mitzvahs Nesina, right? That's the chiddush of the Tosas Rid in Kiddushin on Daf Nunches. Reisi makshim, vatitein loksiv. Yet, what do you mean, chita achat poteres esakri? It says, titein, ubi'inan kedei Nesina. And he says, "Venira lulatarets debevadai mitzvah liten din davar chashuv." Surely you have to give a davar chashuv, but it's just that if you give a tiny amount, that fixes your avav bishem mitzvah sabakach. I mean, it wrote lekayim mitzvah zu v'tarim hachita achas nitkan v'yathem itay tiblo elosh lokiyim mitzvah tesina. So in that piece, right at the beginning, he says, "Venira lulatarets debevadai mitzvah liten din davar chashuv kiditznan." For he quotes the Mishnah in Chulin and Reishis Ageis, "Kamahu nosin." You have to give a certain amount of wool. For Rashi's Agaz, Mishkal Hay Sloim, Shinamar Titain Lo, Shebok Denasina, Vahachanamitan Bishili Peya. It also says in the Mishnah at the end of Peya. Right? Ain Poksin Laani Bagorin Mechati Kav Chitim Vachati Vakav Saurin. Ad Midazu Amura Bekonim Bilavim Ubi Israel. And this applies to everyone. Pirish Gam Kishamachali Truma Bagorin Lakoanim. O Maisarishon Lilavim. Unbelievable. So Tosafot Rid says this is talking about also when you give the truma and you give the Maaser Rishon Levim, give them a nice amount. So he quotes this Mishnah as referring to not Maaser Ani, but referring to Maaser Rishon and Truma, emphasizing the idea that he says that if you want to be Yotzi, the mitzvahs Nesina of these mitzvahs, you got to give a chashuv amount. Right? Not if you want to be Misake in your field from Tevel, then even less. But he quotes this Mishnah. Right? He knew Peah, Mishnah, the end of Peah right here. That's how he interpreted this Mishnah. Right? Unlike the other Mepharshim on the page. So you have to have this Tosas Rid from Kiddushin in order to appreciate another understanding of this Mishnah, right? If it's talking about that chiddush of misaki midei tifla. Okay. Hayamatzil, if somebody wants to save some of his meiser ani for his relatives, right? He has his poor relatives, and he wants to save some. So peya and leked and all of those, right? That's not a nesida. They usually have to leave. So if you have to leave it, then you can't protect it or save it for relatives. But meiser ani, right? You could save. So hamatzil, what do you do? So nosin mechsa v'noto mechsa. Says the Mishnah, you have to give half of it to whoever comes, the ani, and the other half you can save for your relatives. Hayalomemuat. What if you only have a small amount? Nosin lefneim mechalkim meneim. So the pashup shot is, if you don't have enough to split it in half, so you just have to leave it. You have to leave it for the aniyim. You can't, if you're going to cause a loss to the aniyim in front of you, you can't save it for your relatives. We'll see if that's really what it means in the Gemara. Rabbi Yonah patar masnisa. Rabbi Yonah explained the Mishnah, the line of the Mishnah that we just said, that if you want to save it for your relatives, there's two pshatim, how to understand that line. So first pshat, Rabbi Yonah patar masnisa beyoser mikashir. One pshat is when you have plenty. When you have plenty, you have more than the shear, more than enough, and right, he's going to leave part of his field for the aniyim right there, and he's going to save the rest for his relatives. So what does it mean? Mechsa doesn't mean literally mechsa here. Hayamatzil, no tell mechsa, but no tell mechsa means he should take what he wants and no tell mechsa and leave part of it. But what is? How do we understand that? Mara Folda explains, you should leave the amount that is needed and is good for the aniye ircha for his city, and then he could take the whole rest for his relatives. Right, mechsa would mean part. Aval bekashir, but if you only have a limited amount, and that would only be enough for the aniyim that are in your city, who knows silifneim v'machakim aniyim, then you just have to leave it. You can't take for your relatives. Only if there's plenty for the aniyim in your city, then you could take even more than that for your relatives and save it. Reb Chizkiya patar masnisa b'kashir. Reb Chizkiya says no. Maybe, different shot, even if there's only enough, the whole Mishnah could be understood where the amount that you have is only the amount that is enough for the aniyim in front of you. So bikesh lahatzil, and this is how you understand the Mishnah. If you want to save some for your relatives, no tal mechsa v'nosei mechsa. So then what do? If you don't have enough, you want to save some for your relatives, but you don't really have enough. So you could take some, but then you have to put that back. Right? You can try to take some, but it's not good enough. Shemitoch, she no tal mechsa v'nosei mechsa, because since you're taking some and you're leaving some, there's only going to be a little bit left. Nasa davar muat. It becomes very small, and it's not enough to leave for the aniyim of your city. So nosi lefneim v'machalkim aniyim. So you just have to leave everything. So basically, two different pshatim had to understand the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about a case where you have plenty, and the two lines of the Mishnah are talking about two separate stages, taking for yourself and leaving. Or the second pshat is that when you don't have enough, so you take for yourself, but then that makes you realize that you don't have enough to leave for the aniyei iro, therefore you have to just turn around and leave it all and put it back. Good. Period. Tani hanasavin al apsachim eidis kachem lo chaldavar. If there are those that go door to door and get stuck that way, so then those people, you don't have to be so worried about getting maaser ani. Meaning if the aniyim have other ways of supporting themselves, and besides the maaser ani, they go around to doors, so then they do not need to get maaser ani. Obviously, if they don't have enough, then yeah, you bring. Amr Biona, ubilcho de lo yifchosle min argeron delay. As long as it's not, they don't get less than their usual amount. Right? You can't give them less than the usual amount, filling in what they need. Because if the people stop giving maaser ani to certain individuals, then people might think, oh, I guess they're not poor anymore. So maybe they're not even going to give them at the door. So one has to always be careful in terms of the reputation that one, gives off by how they treat the aniyim. Period. Hacha, which happens even bizman hazeh, right? Sometimes somebody will say, oh, so-and-so gave me this, so-and-so gave me that. So how we, you know, treat certain recipients of our tzedakah, you know, can have effect how other people treat them as well. Hacha, tamar, but 1 second. Says the Gemara, there's a steer between our Mishnah and the next Mishnah. Hacha, tamar, in popsin la'ni and bagorin. We just said that you don't give less than all these certain amounts to the ani, right? All the shiurim that we had for the kav and the hefakav and all of those by the barley and the wheat, v'chulu. V'koat amar, and the next Mishnah on Tamar's daf, it says, ein poksim la'ani over mi makom la'makom, right? Then it gives a different shiur. It says, mikikar pundiyon me'arbasoyon basela, to give him a loaf that costs a pundiyon when four saw flour costs a sela. If you do the math, it's a different shiur. Right, so how do you put the two shiurim together? So Rafuna Amar Tsemi and Shlish Liyitzia. No, the next Mishnah, really, you don't give them as much as it says. You have to take off a certain amount for the expenses that you grind the bread and bake the bread, and it ends up being the same shiur. Okay, if you do the math, Mara Folda here does the math for us. Rav Yossi Barbun, Mafik Lile Nachtomaya, Kadad Rafuna, Rav Yossi Barbun, he gave, right, to these bakers, right, like Rafuna says, like Rafuna just said, you take off a little bit so they don't have so much to grind and bake. Ubilchud Kadain Shira, as long as you give this shear that is described in the Mishnah. Rabbi Babar Mamok Bai Kumi Rabbi Ilah, Ro Oso Yotzim Anir V'Nichnas Lei. What happens if you see a poor person, you know, going out of the city, and like half an hour later coming back in? Right? The next Mishnah is going to talk about that if an Ani is sleeping over, you have to give him enough money to, for Lina to sleep over somewhere in a hostel. What happens if you see he left the city and now he's coming back? And they say, oh, I need money to sleep over. So, do we think that he's trying a trick? Because he just came back to get money to sleep over, but he's going to leave again? Right, he left already. Why'd he come back? Right? So do we have to be worried that he's doing this as a trick? The Gemara says, Amarle, Hanose Nosein, Valokeach Yachesh La'atzma, which is the Yesod Gadol. Yeah. Right? It's on his shoulders. Right? You give. What he does is his issue. Right? What he does is his issue. And it's on his shoulders. Do you get the mitzvah? Let's say he's a faker. So it's his fault. Do you get the mitzvah? So unclear. Kodesh Baruch Hu is not going to, look badly upon it, right? Right. All the mikoros about chesed affecting you, that chesed is more about the giver than about the receiver, that for sure applies, right? Remember the Rambam about akol lefi rov ha'maaseh, right? The more we do, the more it affects us. So even if the guy's a faker, you know, it definitely affects us. But we also know that Ben Adam HaChaver is result-oriented. I mean, if I wanted to do a mitzvah, Ben Adam HaChaver, and I didn't get to do it, I'm not going to get the schar because I didn't end up doing it. So it's unclear, but either way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the cheshbon, and he'll work things out. Okay, we'll have to stop here as we continue our march in the last week here in Maseches Peah.